was just having a brief little conversation with Richard Doc Walker, who's coming up an hour from now, and for Craig Hoffman and his producer, Antoine. I think they're going to be talking about the Wizards and potentially competing for the playoffs. We did a little Wizards Summer League along with a exclusive preview of National second round pick Ethan Petrie with Ben Strober in the 1 o'clock hour. Ben, one of our young bucks here, one of our young lions, called his Cape Cod Summer League games last year. Petrie, the National second round pick and big bopper, certainly been favorably compared to Pete Alonso, certainly with power. Again, they bypassed the power at 1-1 overall with the absolute raw power of Holiday and go with Eli Willits. We touched on that a lot in our first hour. Maybe we'll get back a little bit to that. So there's your top 10 in the NFL. Again, I think reasonable arguments certainly could be made. C.J. Stroud, honorable mention, Jordan Love. I think you can make an argument for Brock Purdy. I don't think you can make an argument for anybody else. The one thing I wanted to kind of just circle back on is I don't understand how Jaden Daniels would be as ranked as low as number 10, unless whoever did it, and maybe it was more than one person, we don't know, just simply said, well, 1 year is not enough for me. I need to see more. I need to see when defenses adjust. I need to see whether or not he can be consistent. I would argue this. When it comes to Jaden Daniels, yes, I'd love to see more and have a greater sample size, and I'll feel way better after 2 years if he's still the same and if the arrow is still pointing up. But because of the playoff run, because of seeing him in three playoff games and the way he performed, where he got better, not worse, better in the playoffs than he did towards the end of the regular season, I think. That was pretty good for me. And then on top of that, to see him fight through whatever the rib thing was, which they were so coy about, even though they struggled for three or four games, to see him fight through that showed me what kind of toughness and what kind of character this kid has. And I know the work ethic, and I know the football IQ. I don't know what Jaden Daniels is going to be the rest of his career, but you guys know me. I am not an overly optimistic person. I'm not overly optimistic on Jaden because I just don't allow myself to really get that far and that swept up in it, but I'm optimistic. And I'm not just saying that so you don't hate me. I'm optimistic. Because the kid's football IQ and work ethic is off the bleeping charts. Not to mention his athleticism, his arm, his accuracy, his work ethic, his maturity. The fact that he's not going out at night and getting DWIs and speeding all over the place. I mean, and I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm sure he's got something. You know, we all do, but I don't know. I feel really optimistic. And maybe Jaden Daniels can crack 1, 2, 3, or 4 next year. I don't think he gets up to number one unless they win a Super Bowl. But who knows? All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to line one. Say hello to Chris in Maryland before we go any further. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Chris. Long time, man. You know I love you, man. I love listening to you. I'm a Falcons fan, and you know, I'm not biased about none of these conversations.
My
God. You know my quarterback not going to be top five.
Yeah.
But, hey, look. Hey, listen. I'm sitting here listening, and I was like, listen, I can't have Jaden Daniels in the top five. And I can tell you why I can't have him in the top
five. Please do.
But I'm going to tell you what you have. In the NFL, you got game managers. Like, if you want to go to top five game managers, I'll put, like, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, And then you got Justin Herbert. Well, Justin Herbert is an off-script type of guy. But then you got these guys that, like, lethal weapon guys. You got Lamar Jackson. You got Josh Allen. You got Jaden Daniels. You got Kyler Murray. But then I asked myself, like, who would you have if you named your top five quarterbacks, like, that need to win the game, can all around do the game? I would go Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. And the last one might scare you out when I say this, because I'm not a Dallas fan, but Prescott, he got the body of work. I think Prescott will be number five when healthy. So this is my expectation while healthy. But this is the reason why I don't think Jaden Daniels. I got Jaden Daniels as the seventh best quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I think you got to look at this. Jaden Daniels didn't have much offense besides Terry McLaurin. Like, he did a lot of things off script. He didn't have that much talent around him.
Right.
And he did a lot. So,
and like, theoretically, he's got more around him this year, even though they subtracted a few receivers and added Debo. Theoretically, they're better because of Tunsil, because of Connerly, the first round pick, so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was going to get to.
Think seventh is unreasonable, by the way. That's a matter of preference and difference. What I would question for you when you say Dak at number five and you acknowledge the injury. Listen, Dak Prescott is a top seven or eight quarterback when he's healthy, when he's right. I don't think there's much question about that. Now, not if we're including the postseason where he struggled.
Absolutely.
The problem is he struggled in the postseason, which is important, as we keep saying. And on top of that, second major injury of his career. And that is just going to have to be a prove it once again kind of thing.
My fifth quarterback, really, I had him on there was, what's your quarterback? Out in LA.
Stafford.
Okay, yeah, I had Stafford on here, but Stafford got a hell of a coach. He got a hell of a weapons on offense. So, like, I just looked at it like this. I had Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Allen, Justin Herbert, because he don't really have talent out there he playing with. He could throw the hell out of the ball. I had Goff and Hurst, but you can't take away Hurst. But Hurst got a lot of talent. He had one of the best offensive lines. Goff got one of the best offensive lines. But don't sleep on Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray had a hell of a year. When he get that talent around, Kyler Murray is going to be a top 10 quarterback this year. I can't wait to see what my quarterback going to do, because he got a good offensive line. And I can see Kyler Murray being top 10 before the end of the year. That's my sleeper quarterback if he can stay healthy. And a lot of us, we always overlook Geno Smith. We overlook Baker Mayfield. There's some hell of a quarterback. But, like, it's three quarterbacks. Two quarterbacks there we can't argue with. Mahomes and Burrow. Like, and Allen and Lamar. And those quarterbacks, Goff, they've been consistent for years. You can't argue with that. Like, C.J. Stroud, we're not talking about him because he had a terrible year, but he had so many injuries last year. So you're not really talking about him. Now we want to see what Jaden Daniels is going to do. I think he's going to be phenomenal because you got offensive line. You got a hell of a coach, Cliff Kingsbury, going to be a high commodity next year. And I think the sky's the limit because – your staff is building it the right way. They're building the line. They're building more playmakers around it.
Chris, I love your passion, and I love your calls. But real quickly, I know it's a very small sample size. Where would you put Penix? Your guy.
Michael Penix? Oh, man. Probably.
I mean, obviously, 19, you wouldn't put him anywhere 19, near the top 20. 10, but you said what?
Heck no. 19-20.
Okay.
I put him down there.
All right. Okay.
The reason why, because you got small sample size,
yeah.
And I'm not going to – I think it's going to be great. He could throw the ball,
yeah.
But I don't know if he could stay healthy. So, but I got one thing for you before I go. I'm all for getting rid of Terry McLaurin. You know why, right?
Because you want him in Atlanta?
Like, I don't care for him in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
I just think that a Jennings deal would be great. Get Jennings over here. Get him on a proven deal. Pay him about $15 million for 1 year. You got Debo on a proven year, but you're going to have plenty of money. You're going to pay Jaden $300 million when it comes up to it. Like, I just feel that I wouldn't pay him a second big contract at the age of 31, going to 32. I think that he did what he did. I argue this a lot. I think that Terry McLaurin is a good wide receiver, but he get lost in big games. He get lost in big games, and I think a lot of his receiving yards come on when you're down by three or four touchdowns. So, and that's how he's been consistent. But I say I'm going to spend $25 million on him.
Well, I wouldn't say maybe in years past he gets lost in big games. I mean, he did score 3 touchdowns in 3 playoff games. You know,
yeah, but
like he was a force. I understand against the Eagles on the Thursday night regular season, he was shut down by Quinyon Mitchell. I understand against your guy on Sunday night football, he was basically a non-factor. There are a couple of games where Terry is invisible, and trust me on this, Chris, they are using that in their negotiations. Trust me on that.
Absolutely. But I think it's a good trade bait right this year. I think that's what makes teams like – they scared to pull that trigger. Like, for example, since you're talking about the Wizards, I was like, the Wizards should have been pulled that trigger on Gilbert Arenas and Bradley Beal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got a good team pull that trigger early, like the Boston Celtics, and that's how they're never going to be good because they don't pull that trigger wide. Yeah,
I hear you. Thanks, man, Chris. Appreciate you, man. You're the best. Appreciate you. Great call. Let's do this before I get to anywhere else. Before I lose track, let's go to Greg and Frederick on line 2 and get him aboard here on the Team 980. Greg, how are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Doing good, Greg. What's going on?
Well, I want to pull the rug a bit on the idolization of Jaden Daniels, and I want to argue a little bit for Jalen Hurts. You know, if you look at the game when the Eagles played Washington in the playoffs, there were 2 quarterbacks in that game, and one was clearly superior. I think that's Jalen Hurts. If you look at some of the passes that Daniels threw, by my count, at least 3 of them were in the dirt or just off target. You know, Hurts, on the other hand, the score ought to reflect a little bit. I hear you saying, I think it was you saying that Jalen Daniels single-handedly raised the the Commanders up. You know, but Jalen Hurts takes the Eagles to the goal. It's the best quarterback against Patrick Mahomes and both of them, and he's a product of his team.
Right. Well, here's what I did say. I sung the praises of Jalen Hurts at number 9. I believe he is appropriately ranked in this. And I said he's a much better postseason quarterback than he is a regular season quarterback. And I think that does affect how people view him positively and or negatively. I think people view him as a product of the talent around him, neither here nor there. But, you know, it is what it is. But I don't believe I said Jaden Daniels single-handedly did anything. I mean, I said you don't win games by yourself as a quarterback. You don't lose games by yourself as a quarterback, but the quarterback is going to get a lot of criticism and a lot of praise. I do think Jaden Daniels, if you line them up side by side, is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. I do that. I do believe that. But that doesn't mean that Jaden Daniels is anywhere near as accomplished as Jalen Hurts. But again, part of that is the team and the structure that they're around, and the fact that Jalen Hurts, quite honestly, has been in the league for, 5 years? Did we lose Greg?
The league for 5 years, but they've played each other, I think, 4 times now. The Eagles have won 3 out of 4.
Well, they played each other 3 times. They played each other 3 times.
That's all right. I stand corrected. And Hurts has 2 Super Bowl appearances.
Yes.
1 win and an MVP.
Yes. So, but I'm not denying any of that. I'm not denying any of that. Jalen Hurts is great in the postseason. I mean, but Jaden Daniels was pretty damn good even in that Philadelphia game. If you forget, yeah, he had a couple of bad throws. He had the late interception. If you forget, he was great on 4th down in that opening drive until they bogged down in the red zone, which led to a field goal. Then the next drive, they're marching and they're moving the ball, and he completes a pass to De'Ami Brown, who fumbles it at midfield. They were down 11 points and driving at the turn of the 3rd quarter into the 4th quarter at midfield before Austin Eckler fumbles on a pass completion by Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels led them back in that game. He had the touchdown scramble from the 10-yard line on third down in the middle of the third quarter. Yes, things were a little out of hand because the Commanders kept turning the ball over. Jaden only had one of those turnovers, and it was late when the game was already done. That loss, not on Jaden Daniels.
I didn't say it was, but I do say that if he's the greatness of all time or up there among the very best in the league, maybe you should have expected him to pull that out. And he did.
He was a rookie. He's a rookie on the road playing against the Super Bowl champions, a much better team.
Right. If he's that good.
Okay.
You know, why does that matter?
I mean, here's what I would say, Greg, and I appreciate the phone call. I'll let you run because your phone is a little wonky. This year, I expect Jaden Daniels and the Commanders to be able to win a game like that. Now, I did pick them to win that game. I was more doing that because I wanted them to win and because I thought maybe the Eagles were a little bit ripe for the picking. I was wrong. But the Commanders were not that game. See, people have this all wrong. Historically, people are going to think the Washington Commanders had no chance in that game. They did. They didn't have a great chance. They absolutely did. They threw up all over themselves consistently. That game was in reach. De'Ami Brown fumbles. Second series. Leads to a second touchdown. That game was in reach. Fumble by Jeremy McNichols on the kickoff return near halftime. Boom. Quickly turns into a 17-point lead or whatever. That game was in reach. Turn of the fourth quarter. Austin Ekeler down 11 points. Midfield. That game was in reach. The Commanders only had the lead after the first drive. True. It was not the blowout. Again, you have to watch the games. And too oftentimes people look at stupid gambling lines and just raw numbers and have no context. 21 minutes after 3. More on, I want to spend a couple of minutes on Juwan Jennings and the San Francisco situation, because not that I think that impacts the Commanders right now. But if he's disgruntled, if Terry McLaurin is disgruntled, maybe. We'll examine next. On the Team 980, we're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
It was at that point I realized I was the smartest football analyst ever.
Well, that's just not true, Nell. It's just not true. Is it?
I'm more concerned if Nail is an approved nickname.
Well, not by him, which is why I would refer to him as that, because he doesn't approve a lot of things. I mean, he thinks everybody should just be all buttoned up and serious and in your face and just say, Mr. Linnell. YIC, youngest in charge, which he told me he was going to bury a couple of weeks ago, and then I hear him over the weekend still calling himself the YIC. Anyway, two football things. One, I wanted to get to a couple of mentions about Kyler Murray, and I said nowhere near the top 10. I've just never been a Kyler Murray guy. I know he's matured a little bit. I got it. I understand that. I know he's probably not as bad as I think he is, but Kyler Murray is, I mean, he's fine to good. I don't think he's very good. Like, and I think he's historically struggled in the second half. And again, you have to look at just beyond numbers. You can't just look at numbers. But like last year, I'll give you, okay? And again, I think he's matured a little bit. He was actually better statistically in the second half of the season than in the first half of the season. He threw the ball more in the second half of the season, but he's completed almost 70%. An average of 7.2, but 10 touchdowns to 8 interceptions as he threw the ball more. Whereas in the first half, he had an 11 touchdown to 3 interception ratio. He was sacked 19 more times. Now, again, some of that could be because their defense is terrible, so he's having to throw more. Got it. But his quarterback rating was a 90.2 compared to a 98.0 in the first half. Right? His rushing yards, 6.2 per on nearly the same amount of attempts compared to 8.4 in the first half. But he did have one more touchdown rushing in the second half than he did the first half. My point on Kyler Murray, and if you look at the second half numbers, and I did some work on this because I got tired of people blaming the cliff. Kyler Murray hasn't been good enough in the second half of seasons, period. Not for a 1-1. Not for somebody that, you know, everybody thinks is great, or a lot of people thought was great. Has not been good enough. I mean, I don't have the time to break it all down. This isn't, you know, Arizona Sports Radio 98.7. But just give you that, okay? So here's the thing that I wanted to spend a minute on. We brought this up earlier. Juwan Jennings of the 49ers wants out, or he wants a new contract. He's got 1 year left on his deal. According to Adam Schefter, scheduled to make $7.5 million this year, but he wants out if a new deal isn't reached by the time training camp starts next week. He wants to find a team that's willing to pay him. Okay. I mean, he's a very good blocking receiver. He signed a 2-year, $15.39 million extension last offseason. Hey, dude, listen, here's the deal. First off, you signed the freaking contract last offseason. Shut up. Number one. Number two, you know, there's this thing called the salary cap. They've already paid Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Brock Purdy, Bosa, Fred Warner. How many people do you want them to pay? Supposedly, he will not be a training camp holdout. What happens if he doesn't get the contract extension? Say he's not a holdout. He's unhappy, though. He wants to go to a team that is willing to pay him. Remember, he was a former seventh-round pick. It's not like he had a lot of acclaim. 77 catches, 975 yards, 6 touchdowns, an average of 12.7 per last year. Right? I mean, he's a good player, a good blocker, everything that Kyle Shanahan wants. 113 targets. Again, just shy of 1,000. Like, you know, he's good. He's not great, but he's good. They already paid Ayuk. I forgot to mention him in the list of people that they paid. It's the reason why they got rid of Debo in addition to other reasons. Like, could you see Juwan Jennings? Remember, Adam Peters obviously involved in drafting him and developing him. Could you see Adam Peters being interested in that? Well, I don't right now, unless we get to a point where it is really ugly between Terry McLaurin and the Washington Commanders, which I don't expect it to get to that point, so I'll just say that. But if Terry demands a trade, wants out, and they are $6, $7, $8 million apart in terms of what each side wants, could you see a trade that maybe worked out for both sides? I mean, I don't see the 49ers being able to pay Terry what he wants, but oh, who knows? Maybe they could. That's a possibility. I mean, I would say it's a low possibility. And I would say right now, if Juwan Jennings wants a contract and wants to get paid significant money, and by significant money, I guess at least $20 million per year, at least, I don't see how you're the Commanders and you can pull the trigger on that after you pulled the trigger on the Deebo Samuel deal without giving Terry his money. But if you've decided for whatever reason, or if you do decide down the road to get rid of Terry or to trade Terry or trade, or Terry wants out and he's drawn, you know, maybe something can happen there. Something to keep an eye on from afar, not saying it's going to happen anytime soon. All right, let's do the final trending alert right here on the Team 980. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. All right, we'll start with NBA breaking news. How about Victor Wembanyama, the former number one overall pick? He's been cleared to return to basketball activities after missing the last 46 games of last season for the San Antonio Spurs as he recovers from deep vein thrombosis in his right shoulder. So that is a certainly good news for him, but we will see where that lands. Again, the former number one overall pick. We just told you from the NFL, Juwan Jennings wants either a new deal or a new trade, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. Meanwhile, Teddy Bridgewater, told you this story in the first hour, suspended from his head coaching job at Miami Northwestern in high school football for allegedly providing impermissible benefits to his athletes. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is tomorrow night in Atlanta, the Midsummer Classic. Shohei Ohtani will be the designated hitter for the National League, and he will lead off, as he often does, for the Los Angeles Dodgers, followed by hometown star Ronald Acuna Jr. Of the Braves. Ketel Marte will be third, followed by Freddie Freeman making his return to Atlanta, and Francisco Lindor of the Mets will be eighth, while Pete Crow Armstrong of the Cubs will be ninth. Paul Skeens will be the starting pitcher for a second straight year for the National League. For the American League, Gleyber Torres of the Tigers leads off. Riley Green, number two. Tarik Skubal on the mound, four, and he grabs the start. Cal Raleigh hitting cleanup. Aaron Judge at number three, and that's what's trending. Because LeBron's got that kind of stroke. Because LeBron's got that kind of stroke. See how much stroke LeBron has when he gets traded to the Toronto Raptors. We will see. Antoine, you think he's going to get traded? Maybe?
I do not think he's going to get traded.
You don't think the Lakers are sick of him?
No.
You don't think LeBron's sick of the Lakers?
To a degree, okay. Maybe.
You think the Lakers are still all in on LeBron?
Yeah.
Really? All right. That's Antonio.
Yeah, maybe I'm not naive. I don't know.
Antoinette. Can I give you another name?
Antoinette is so disrespectful. Christopher.
I was just quickly in my mind trying to like come up with something. It was like the first name that popped up. When I was a young buck, when I was a young kid, my mom had this babysitter. She was like in her mid-80s. It was all she could afford. She was a neighbor. Her name was Antoinette. And because you just went to France, Germany, Italy, and Spain, right, all in 1 week, and took more vacation days than Kevin Sheehan does, you came back and said, yeah, just call me Antoine or Antonio, right?
Mr. Chris Russell, we've taken the same amount of vacation days.
That's not true.
That's not true. The only thing that I do, I'm very strategic about the days that I take.
That's so not true. You told
me. I'm not taking extra days, you know, on a 3- and 4-day weekend. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. You're just taking, like, weeks at a time.
Just 1 week.
How many vacation days have you taken so far this year?
I'm at 7. And how many have you taken?
You said 9.
Oh, no. I forgot. Yeah, it is 9.
How many vacation
Black
days have
football
I
Nationals.
How many vacation days have I taken this
seven.
Year?
7.
7.
Okay, you're not far off. And you have a couple more already lined up.
How many vacation days did you take last year, Antoine?
Just 5.
Yeah, bullshit.
Wow. That was close there.
That was close. But, hey, keep it FCC friendly, sir.
That was pretty close. Love you,
what,
buddy.
What did I do to you, Russell?
Love you, buddy. It's great to see you here, even when Greg Huffman is on vacation. Antoine is here.
He's gone for,
he
for
gone.
5 days.
He gone.
Yeah.
Richard Doc Walker coming up in about 17 or 18 minutes. All right. Before, I promised you some sound that AMAC cultivated and sent to me this morning, and I forgot to get to it. You want to do Damian Woody first? Why don't we get Damian Woody in here? Because he was talking about Jaden Daniels, top five quarterback. Obviously, the ranking ESPN, as we've sprinkled in throughout the show. I have no problem with that ranking. Some people are going to. I don't understand the 10th. Whatever. Okay. It is what it is. Here's Damian Woody. Jaden Daniels, top five quarterback.
Damian Woody, do you agree with Jaden Daniels, a second-year quarterback, already as the fifth best and the top quarterback in the NFC?
You're damn right I do.
Let's go!
Damn right I do. Listen, I grew up a Washington fan. I've seen this organization inept for over two decades. That young man steps foot in the building, and that group was one game away from the Super Bowl. That is not a fluke, my friend. It is not a fluke. This man is uber talented. Not only is he a great athlete, he's calm, he's collected, he processes well. He's accurate. He plays with timing and rhythm. Like, he has all those things. And as this franchise continues to build this thing out, listen, next year we could be talking about a guy in the top three.
That is Damian Woody. Now, listen, just because you grew up a Commanders or a Washington fan or whatever, listen, if you watch Jaden Daniels, you know he's less erratic than Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's won a Super Bowl. Matt Stafford's had a great career. He's less erratic than Matt Stafford. Other guys in that area, we talked about Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's better than Jared Goff. Sorry, he is. I know Jared Goff's had a great career renaissance in Detroit. He's better. Take him in. He's better than Baker Mayfield. He's better than Jalen Hurts. At this point, I think he's better than Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's been awful in a couple of playoff games. And yes, he doesn't have a lot to work with, but neither did Jaden Daniels. We should not be arguing whether Jaden Daniels should be top five. We should be arguing who's the fool that put him at 10. Dan Orlovsky, also of ESPN, he weighed in on this subject. I forget, AMAC. I'm sorry.
Dan was kind of just had, like, I don't want to say an asterisk, but just could give him more context to Jalen Hurts being at 9.
All right. To Jalen Hurts being at number 9. Okay, yeah. So we talked about this. I have no problem. I'll just say it again. I have no problem with Jalen Hurts being at number 9. Again, I think that's, I think a lot of this is perception over reality sometimes. I think Jalen Hurts is awesome in the playoffs. I think he's an average, maybe slightly above average quarterback in the regular season.
You're good with Jaden 5 and Hurts 9?
I am.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, but we're talking, okay, one, Buffalo had a different, maybe not high-end talent, but 5 or 6 pretty darn good players. Jalen has a bona fide top 3 receiver and another probably top 10 guy. He's got a tight end that's a top 5 guy at the position. Mm-hmm. It's the best offensive line in ball.
Do you hold that against him?
No, you don't hold it against him, but it is part of the conversation. It is okay for us to go. It's always about who you're doing it with at the quarterback position. It's a dependent position. So we can hypothetically go, okay, if Herbert's in Philadelphia, is he eclipsing 25 touchdowns? He hasn't done it in 3 years. Mm-hmm. I would imagine so.
Sure.
If Jalen goes to Los Angeles, is he having that Super Bowl win? It's hard for me to see that. And so the context of it all is a fair part of the conversation.
All right, so that's Dan Orlovsky of ESPN talking about.
What's that? Does that sound familiar?
Which part sounds familiar?
All of it.
Oh, well, so this gives you.
Yeah, let me slam dunk
let me slam dunk.
This has been my point about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he's a bad quarterback, but I think that the team success and the great team building of Howie Roseman, like, I think some of that success of a great team falls at his feet. And I don't know if he's, I don't want to say deserving. I think that's the wrong word. I don't think that he's as good as some people make him seem. This is what we were talking about, the whole Dak Prescott conversation.
Right. But again, ranking him number nine, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
Like, do we, wouldn't you agree mm-hmm. that most people that are ranking Jalen Hurts as the top 10 quarterback are saying, yes, we acknowledge that he's got a great defense, a great system, a great wide receivers, a great running back, great offensive line. But he is the quarterback who plays the most critical position. He runs that offense, and he's awesome when it matters the most. And that's their juxtaposition. Or juxtaposition might be wrong. That's their reasoning. It's not just purely statistics.
Yeah, I know. I get that. And I think that specifically in that Super Bowl, like, yes, there were some amazing throws, right on time, great reads from Jalen Hurts. But if you look at the playoffs up to that point, and even multiple games where the game's on the line and things, we're giving the ball to Jalen Hurts, there are plenty of times where I can point to you and say, oh, he throws an interception. Oh, he doesn't get the game-winning drive. Oh, he doesn't. Like, there's a lot of average performance from Jalen Hurts. So to even say, oh, he steps up in the big moments and plays his butt off, I don't know if that's always accurate.
Well, I wouldn't say that is that way across the board, but it's very noticeable in the postseason, is what I keep circling back to. You're right. There are times where he maybe falls short. From time, you know, not like every time he falls short in the regular season.
No. You made the point. He's up and down.
Yeah.
He doesn't get to that Super Bowl if he doesn't have a good team.
There is no doubt.
To even put himself in that situation. And I think the point that Dan is highlighting here is, like, there are other quarterbacks. I know I don't want to be extreme, but, like, Josh Allen, who's doing it number one.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point.
Well, I think it would be absurd to put Jalen Hurts, even though he's won more, he's been in more Super Bowls than Josh Allen has been in or won or whatever. I think it would be absurd to rank him, you know, ahead of even Lamar Jackson, who hasn't been in any Super Bowls, right? I get that guys do more with less. I get it. I totally get it. All right, we have plenty of time to debate this and talk about this. We've got to take a final timeout and return with Dumb Dumb of the Day. You're never going to guess what happened in a stolen RV in West Virginia. Next on the Team 980, always live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Alrighty, everybody. Before we get to a home run derby prediction, as requested by our guy AA, Athens and Annapolis, it is time for Dumb Dumb of the Day. And you know, we told you about a stolen RV, West Virginia. Well, West Virginia. A West Virginia couple was found naked and having sexual intercourse, Antoine. That's right, sexual intercourse in a stolen RV. When a cop pulled the moving vehicle over after spotting the driver being straddled by his intoxicated female passenger, according to a criminal complaint. So that's right. They were driving a stolen RV and having sex while driving the vehicle during the traffic stop in Bluefield, West Virginia, which is apparently in the Appalachian Mountains. A patrolman approached the RV and found Shannon Bryant, a 35-year-old woman, now sitting behind the wheel. A passerby, yelled out that the occupants had switched seats before I made contact with them, said the officer, and that Matthew McDonald, 48, the man, was now in the passenger seat. He said, I inquired about their actions while the vehicle is in motion, to which Miss Bryant candidly responded, we were beeping! She didn't say beep. She appeared to be highly intoxicated. They were ordered out of the RV, read their rights. She admitted that they were naked, attempting to try and engage in sexual activity while driving, and that they switched seats upon spotting the squad car. They found drug paraphernalia, a bag containing a white powdery substance, recovered painkillers, a broken glass pipe, and more during the traffic stop. So these two idiots stole an RV, were trying to get it on while driving. They were arrested for indecent exposure, drug possession, DUI, and possession of a stolen vehicle. They have pleaded not guilty, but they have extensive criminal records. These might be the two biggest morons in the United States of America right now. And that is no small feat, because this country is filled with a bunch of absolute idiots. Absolute walking, breathing idiots. And these two might take the cake. All right, Richard Doc Walker is coming up next. Before we go, I'm going to say Cal Raleigh, right? Vegas tells me he's the odds-on favorite. So Cal Raleigh must win it, because Vegas knows he's the odds-on favorite. They know all. Cal Raleigh. I think James Woods got the good temperament for this. I wouldn't be surprised if he puts on a show tonight. I'm going to go with Cal Raleigh. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to Ben Strober. Doc Walker next for Craig Huffman. See you tomorrow at 1 o'clock, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Russo. Goodbye.